Quite a number of years ago now, a young lawyer called Frank Morrison tells how back in the early 20th century he grew up in an environment that demanded rational arguments and reasons for everything. As far as he was concerned, miracles didn't happen. Frank Morrison was of the opinion that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a kind of fairy tale happy ending which spoiled, in his view, the wonderful story of Jesus. So he set himself the task to research and write a true account of those last tragic days of Jesus, allowing the full horror of the crime and the full heroism of Jesus to shine through. He would, of course, omit any reference to miracles, and he would utterly discount the resurrection. Frank Morrison settled down to his manuscripts and he pored over the scriptures for evidence to support his idea. What he hadn't reckoned on was he encountered the reality of the power and authority of a risen, living Lord Jesus Christ. Morrison said that that affected a revolution in his thought, and instead of writing a denial of the resurrection, Morrison wrote a book called Who Moved the Stone? A book that presents a really remarkable defense of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a book that has been in print now for almost over 90 years, still in print today, still available from Amazon, also available from other good outlets. This is just one of the more astounding examples of the fact that Jesus Christ still continues to today to meet and challenge people and compel them through his power and authority to follow him. Now, as we study the picture of Jesus Christ, as we see it here in Mark's Gospel, we see a man of great power and authority who enters his public ministry, and while all kinds of interesting things are going on in the life of Christ, Mark reminds us that Jesus is still attracting the crowds, and he continues to constantly and faithfully to declare to the crowds the word of God, the message of the kingdom of God. Now, in this second section of Mark's Gospel that we started last week, that runs from chapter 2, verse 1 to chapter 3, verse 6, there are five stories that Mark deliberately records to underline his central message of the defense of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. His defense is that the message of the cross demands our attention. In the first story that we looked at last time, we saw that there were two reasons why Jesus had authority to forgive sins. It was because Jesus Christ was God. Jesus Christ was God. Not just an important teacher, not just a good guy, not just even the highest prophet, but he is God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is deity. And because he was also Son of Man, he represented man upon the cross, and as our representative, he died for our sins. Now, in this particular passage that we've looked at tonight, looking at verse 13 to verse 17 of chapter 2, Jesus is also seen as a doctor or a physician, able to heal. And we see that there's a very close link made between the forgiveness of sin and the healing of the soul and the healing of the body, as we saw last time. The same pictures of Jesus carries over into this second story, where the authority of Jesus is seen in the taking of a sinner and making that sinner a disciple. It's entirely appropriate that Mark should recall the calling of a disciple as his second story, because having already shown us that he has the power on earth to forgive sins, he can now introduce a story about how Jesus called sinners. Verse 13, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. He leaves the house, and he goes to the lakeside. And we see the crowds are still following Jesus, and Jesus is still teaching the word. We see Jesus continuing to fulfill the purpose of extending his powerful activity, his activity of calling, his activity of attracting, his activity of demonstrating his great authority. You would look out on the water and see wave after wave landing on the seashore. Well, that's just what it was like with the people. Wave after wave of crowds coming, people coming, following the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the NASB captures the essence of verse 13 perhaps a little better, where it says, "And he went out again by the shore, and all the people were coming to him, constantly coming to him, and he was teaching them." They kept coming. Mark is still building the picture of the drawing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, the original Roman audience are very skeptical about this story about Jesus. The thing that they were interested in, well, what did this man do? And the thing that any advisor would have told you on the day back then was, whatever you do, don't talk to a Roman audience about death on a cross. And that's what Mark goes for immediately, almost against all the marketing advice, against all the spin doctors. He goes straight to the heart of the matter. The cross is at the center of what the Lord Jesus Christ has come to do. And we see here his ministry in the calling of a sinner. It provides an opportunity for Jesus to describe the purpose of his mission in coming into the world. "I have come to call sinners." Well, it didn't get much bigger than this sinner, Levi. As he walked along, as Jesus walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. I want you to imagine yourself sitting on Vicarage Farm Road, and you've got a little stall, and you're selling, I don't know, chilies or something like that. There might be a demand for that kind of thing in this area. But you're sitting there at your seat of custom, and along comes a stranger, and he says, "Follow me." And you leave all, and you follow him. No idea where you're going, but you follow him. What kind of power and authority does it take in a person to be able to command you to do that, and you do it? This man is exceptional. To come to this man, Levi, who is a big sinner, a guy who's involved in fraud, in embezzlement, in theft, the calling of such a man with such a profession, gives us every opportunity to understand the mission that the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. Now, quite a lot has been written on whether this Levi here in Mark's Gospel is Matthew, one of the 12 disciples, the author of the first Gospel, or another Levi. And I not really want to dwell on that for now, because Mark doesn't seem to want to say anything about it, except that he was just Levi, son of Alphaeus. Mark is the kind of writer that doesn't get bogged down in detail. He moves it on. The focus is not on Levi. The focus is on Jesus and the power and the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has to attract this man, command this man to leave what he's doing and come and follow him. Levi was seen by the people as a leech, feeding on his own people, collecting taxes for Herod. These tax collectors were renowned for taking more than they should. What they did was, they actually bid for the job. "You know, I'll give you £5,000 if you let me be the tax collector." "Okay, I'll take the £5,000. Now, your responsibility is to raise £15,000. I don't care how you do it. I don't care how you get it. Just make sure at the end of the year you deliver on that." Well, you could go out and you could raise £25,000 and pocket the rest. All you had to do was deliver. No one was checking on you to see what you were up to. As long as you delivered the £15,000, that's all they were interested in. And that's how so many of those tax collectors made their money. the name tax collector was almost synonymous with the word sinner. And the Pharisees actually accused Jesus of sitting and eating with tax collectors and sinners in verse 16. Let us contrast the sinner here, Levi, with the diseased man in our previous story of the paralyzed man. There is this parallel between their conditions. What was wrong with the paralyzed man? Well, it's simple. It's in the clues in the name. He was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. What is the need in his life? He needs healed. He needs to be able to walk. But what is the focus of the story there, that first story that we looked at last time? The focus falls on the forgiveness of sins, and that's what this paralyzed man received. It seems that the healing is incidental to demonstrate that Jesus did have the ability to forgive sins. Now, in this second story, what do you think this sinner needs? Well, he probably needs forgiveness, big time. But the emphasis is upon healing. Jesus says that he's doing the job of a doctor. Verse 17, on hearing this, Jesus says to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. It's not really going to be a big problem convincing the Pharisees and the tax collector, the Pharisees, that this tax collector happens to be a bad guy, happens to be a sinner. If I were to make a very public statement that pedophiles are people who do very wicked things, at this moment in time in our society, I don't think that would be contested. I wouldn't have a hard time convincing people. All the protests that we have seen over this past few years about pedophiles being released from prison, is behavior convincing enough that people think that these people do horrible, wicked things? That's the strength of opinion that the Pharisees had about the tax collector, that they felt in a similar way to how we might feel today about a child abuser. Outwardly, this guy, Levi, sitting in his office, looks the picture of health. He's wealthy, he's well-fed, he's probably smartly dressed. But the emphasis is he has a disease, he needs the doctor. Here is a man who has a debilitating disease. Here is a man who is helpless. The disease that this bad man has is not the disease of paralysis. It's not like the disease of cancer or a heart problem. It's the disease of sin. And there is only one cure. And there is only one doctor. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. The great problem of our generation, and perhaps every generation, is that we do not take sin seriously enough. If you're not a Christian, you have sin in you, which is like a disease that will eventually destroy you. If you are a Christian, and there's unconfessed sin in your life, it is spoiling your communion with God, and it is robbing you of the joy of salvation. Now here is Levi. He looks the picture of health. But Jesus says, I'm the doctor that will cure him. The paralyzed man looked the picture of illness. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And this guy Levi was obviously a good mixer in society because at short notice he seems to be able to throw quite a large party. Person can be a popular person, even a lovable person. But the sadness of the situation is that there is a disease of sin that needs to be dealt with. And Christ is the only one able to save. There is no other religion will save us from our sin. There is no other pathway that will take us to God. There is only one pathway, and that is the pathway of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no salvation to be made known under heaven, whereby we must be saved. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a denial of the importance of the incarnation of God becoming man in Jesus Christ to suggest that there may be some other way to get to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way, the one and only way to God. He is the only doctor that can deal with this particular disease. Now, what does calling involve? Jesus came to Levi and called him. Jesus has power and authority to call sinners to leave their sins and come and follow him. Here again we see clearly these two aspects of a person coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the coming to Christ and there is the leaving of the sinful behind. People today have lifestyles that perhaps because they haven't come from a Christian background or have had no exposure to Christianity are not aware that that lifestyle is contrary to what the Bible says. And they come to Christ with that lifestyle. And then as you begin to open up the scriptures to them to show them that this particular lifestyle is not consistent with the walk of a Christian, they will say, well, who are you to say this to me? Christ received me as I am. Christ received Levi as he was. He was a tax collector. He was a thief. He was involved in fraud. He embezzled. Christ accepted him as he was. But Levi left the sinful lifestyle behind him. That's what we must do. To search the scriptures to see if my lifestyle is consistent. There used to be a number of guys that came to know Christ in the prisons. And they said that now that I'm a Christian, I will never again steal from anyone who is needy. I will only steal from supermarkets where they've got plenty. Because that's the honorable thing to do. If someone had never told you that the Bible says you shall not steal, how would you know? You see, they have a code of conduct within their gangs that you never take from a friend, you never take from a needy person. And maybe in their days before they became a Christian, they would have taken something from a needy person. But now that they were Christ's, they feel, I want to do what's right. But you see, they need to explore the scriptures a little bit more to see what right is. And Levi had to leave behind this sinful lifestyle that he had, this embezzlement, this fraud, this theft. Levi left the sinful task that he'd been involved in. Because Jesus' call was a call to forgiveness and it was a call to discipleship. It was a call to new life, a call to come and follow Christ, a call to obediently follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The authority of Jesus' call to sinners establishes a great difference in our lives. Levi left his occupation right in the middle of pursuing it. Now, Levi was not the only sinner to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 15, it says, Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, and many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. It says that there were many who were following. They were reclining at table, eating a meal. What was the Savior of the world doing, having a meal with sinners? To the teachers of the law, Jesus' behavior was offensive. Because in their estimation, it was an improper thing for a teacher of the law to share meal fellowship with outcast and ignorant common people. But what Jesus was actually doing was much more revolutionary than what they had thought. This was the Messiah who was sitting with sinners. In verse 17, Jesus says that he has come to call sinners. Jesus' call to sinners to the kingdom suggests that the basis of table fellowship was messianic forgiveness of sins. And the meal itself was an anticipation of the messianic banquet that was yet to come. But if Jesus was a holy man, if he really was religious, if he had all his power and authority and religious insight, thought the Pharisees, what's he doing mixing with people of this sort? That is the very question that the religious Pharisees ask, verse 16. When the teachers of the law who were Pharisees saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why does he do this? We're not actually told it here, but it's likely that these religious people were actually standing outside the building. They wouldn't want to defile themselves by going anywhere near the house. They saw themselves as so religious that they would have a whole load of cleansing ceremonies to go through if they even touched the table that Jesus and the sinners were eating at. Why does he do it? They asked his disciples. Why does he eat with these people? They're not religious. They're not religious in any way. Not religious like us, say the scribes and the Pharisees. If Jesus was what he claimed to be, why is he not out here talking to us? Why is he not debating with us? Verse 17, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Again, a question from his critics gives rise here to another opportunity for Jesus Christ to say something further about his mission. His mission was to seek for sinners. That's the reason why he has come into the world. Now, quite a number of years ago, when we were planning to move from Ireland and moving to take up a ministry in Southampton, we were overlooking for a house to buy in Southampton. And one of the houses that we went to see, the lady of the house said, obviously knew from our accent that we weren't of Hampshire stock. And so she said, well, why are you coming to Southampton? To be a minister, I said. Now that can be a real conversation stopper at times. Oh, how interesting. I guess she was interested. How interesting, she says. There is a lot of people here who need help. People with lots of problems. They need the help of a minister. Of course, I'm not religious myself, she says. But then she didn't feel that she needed any help. At least not any help that I could give her. Many people today feel in no need whatsoever of anything that Christianity has to offer. Why is that? Because they do not see themselves as sick. They see themselves as being right. And they would actually be offended if you said to them, there's a problem. There's a problem of sin which separates you from God. There's a problem of sin which means that God is angry with you, the sinner, and he's angry with the sins that you commit. When Jesus said he didn't come to call the righteous, he did mean the Pharisees. But he was referring to them as righteous in a kind of sarcastic way. They gave the appearance of righteousness. They appeared as if they were right. Because I'm right, I have no need of you, Jesus. Because I'm right, I don't need to repent. There was no sense of any need of Christ. Every single one of us is in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is like a sickness. It will do damage in our lives, and ultimately it will damage us in eternity. Sin is in every one of our hearts, and our sin is like our own disease problem. And the very mission of Jesus to come into this world is to make comment about our sinfulness, about our sickness, and that he, as the doctor, has come to call sinners, bring us to healing, bring us to forgiveness. Jesus did not come into this world just to be a lawgiver. He didn't come into this world just to be a king. He didn't come to be just a teacher or just a good example. For people who are struggling with the realization of what sin is doing to us, we're glad to hear the message that Jesus can heal. He can make it different. He can make it go away. He can bind up the wound and heal that which is diseased in us. Sin is a disorder. It's a problem. It would have been ridiculous to think that the doctor would stay away from his patients, that Jesus would stay away from sinners. There is more hope of blessing for the person who just feels totally inadequate than for the person who feels that they have had a good religious upbringing and that that upbringing is enough. Christ came to those who were sick with sin. He came to minister to those who had no strength. And Jesus has authority to call sinners. Why did Christ call Levi? He called him because he loved him. Here is a man who is in the money. He's not seen as a fool in most company. But look at the authority that Jesus has to call him to come and to follow him. To be a Christian is to become a follower. It's to become a disciple. There were many in the crowd that went after Jesus, but they gave up. But a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ never gives up because of the work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. We are Christ's forever. Such is the radical change that Christ makes in our life. It is a permanent change. Jesus has authority to forgive because he has paid the price for our sins. That price was paid on Calvary's cross. Has there been a difference made in your life by the call of Christ? Do you sense that there is a need of Christ? That you need to hear his call? That you need to have your sins forgiven? People like the tax collectors were getting blessed by Jesus Christ. People who were religious were missing out on that blessing. Christ was calling people. He was changing people. He was making disciples of people. Where do you fit in on that? Have you heard his call? Have you responded to that call? Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ has come to call sinners. He's come to call us. It's a wise thing to heed the lesson of God's word and to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. It's a disease that has problems associated with it. And we need that healing. We need that forgiving. We need that pardon. Let us pray.